Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Actually, Chris Williams here in studio for Steve. Again, sitting in for him in the bus driver's seat.
In the big chair.
In the big chair. And with me in studio today, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Chris.
And Dr. Alice Benton.
Hi, and ladies and gentlemen, hi. We're so happy to be with you.
Yes, it's great. I got the good doctors in.
Yes, if we can figure out our headphones, right? We're playing musical headphones. Yeah. We each had each other's.
Yes. So we just needed the music to,
yes.
You know. Okay, stop. So, okay. We are getting bombarded in our culture by anxiety. Mm-hmm. So the latest statistics out there as far as what we call prevalence, meaning how much is going on, is that anxiety in 2018 was the first year that it surpassed depression. And now it is coming up on 2019 and especially 2020 as a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. It is blowing away all others. Mm-hmm. And so we are getting buried in anxiety. So friends, help us out. What do we do here? What is going on? And Jill, you had a story to share that kind of helps highlight what's happening inside of us with all of this anxiety.
Well, I think just all that's happening externally in the world, mm-hmm. right, despite our own personal situations, has created a climate of anxiety.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's those things. There's the fact that our world moves so much faster and we do everything in sound bites. That creates a lot of anxiety. And I think we're moving at a faster pace than our bodies can really assimilate.
Yes.
And so I think that that just sets us up. So then when anything is off kilter, it kind of pushes us over the edge.
Yes.
So you're alluding to, I had a situation this weekend that was really quite terrifying for me. So it was Saturday night, middle of the night. I'm dead asleep. 3 a.m., the doorbell rings.
Wow.
The doorbell rings one time. So it was not somebody trying to get my attention and wake me up. Uh-huh. It rang one time. I was dead asleep. I was freaked out because I happened to be home alone, and it just was very disorienting, and I didn't quite know what to do. And so you can imagine my anxiety was through the roof.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, okay, what do I do? I'm feeling rather helpless and defenseless and realizing I didn't have that great of a plan. So then I survived it. Shared it with the guys here.
Well, and you had a pretty tough day as well.
Oh, I had some things that added in, and we were talking about, you know, coming off of losing Dave, and we had just had the service for Dave, mm-hmm. and so just feeling sad and vulnerable, right? Probably watched some things on TV that were a little more violent than you should watch before you go to bed.
Yes.
You know, all of that really adds in. And then, you know, when you add in your own, you know, I it was my first Easter without either of my kids at home, too,
yeah.
right? So that was a personal sadness of a changing of times, right? But fast forward, found out what the problem was last night. There was a shortage in the doorbell,
and
the doorbell started ringing itself, and I just realized how much information is power in reducing our anxiety.
Yes. When there's this contagion of anxiety that we experience, then we're bombarded with things that trigger our anxiety, and then anything else just puts us at great vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when we can identify it, And when we know what it is and then be able to do something about it, it helps a lot. So give us a call today. We will help you identify the anxiety that is happening inside of you and lead you to some very, very helpful advice and resources. And most importantly, God's love. And we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn today. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton, and give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. And Alice, you have a rattlesnake story.
Jill and I have both been through something the last couple days. I met a rattlesnake up close and personal for the first time in my life yesterday on a family hike with all my kids with me. I bent down to tie my daughter's shoe for her, and the rattle went off. I probably jumped 3 feet, and the kids were all scared too. And I want to bring this story up because my family went through a couple of things since just yesterday afternoon with this. We're all startled. Mm-hmm. We're all a little hypervigilant, and we're a little overreactive right now because of this.
Yes. Right.
But we're retelling the story over and over and over again.
Yes.
We looked for videos of rattlesnakes. We learned a little bit about them after that. And in telling the story, just like Jill did with Mylan and Chris yesterday, we're all starting to settle down, and we're finding reason to laugh at it.
Yes.
Telling the story to save people that are understanding and can sit with us in it helps just immensely to lower
anxiety. And people that come alongside you, even telling my family members at Easter, right? I had a nephew that said, Aunt Jill, you call me in the middle of the night and I'm there for you, right? So drawing people in, letting them know we feel vulnerable and scared is really, really important.
Unexpected help will show up very likely if we start telling what we're probably afraid or ashamed or embarrassed to tell.
Absolutely. Well, let's provide unexpected help for Chris in Wilkes-Barre. Is that, am I saying that right? Pennsylvania. Chris.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Wilkes-Barre, that's right. Chris, I meant to get to you actually yesterday, and I ran out of time, so sorry about that. Thank you so much for calling back in today. How can we help you?
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for all that you guys do. So my question is this. My wife and I have been married 5 years, and we've had quite a few instances of I would make a certain choice, and my wife would say that I'm making a choice, I'm living in the world, I'm not trusting God. For example, this last example I could give you is I'm going to choose to take the COVID vaccine, and she's upset about that. She actually said to me that she regrets being with me because she feels that we're unequally yoked, and she thinks that I'm living in the world rather, and I'm trusting the government over trusting God. And of course, hearing this from her again, I feel hurt. I feel judged.
Chris, we need another example. We need the strongest example of your wife feeling unequally yoked to you that more clearly involves faith and God.
Yeah, well, we are both Christians. It's funny, just before I got on this call, I asked her for more examples, because I remember her response to me, and I'm not remembering actual examples right now, but it has been a recurring thing where she'll say to me, oh, you're not acting like a Christian man. It's just basically choices.
Could you identify any sin pattern on your part that concerns her?
Any sin pattern on my part? I've overcome pornography, and overcame that many years ago, and she's quite proud of me about that, and there haven't been any problems there. Other than that, I don't see anything.
Yeah.
Can't think of anything.
Chris, do you know what your wife is afraid of?
I know that she's been hurt before in her life, and we do go to counseling, and she's able to talk about these things.
You know,
but But how should I guess my question is, how should I respond to her? I mean, she's saying very hurtful things to me,
yeah.
to my core, to my core Christianity, and I feel like I'm defending myself, but like, how should I respond to that?
Well,
you know, she's very angry.
Yes, so I hear the anger and I hear the fear that she is experiencing, and I also obviously hear your frustration over it. And so there's things that we do in our fear when we fear maybe we're going to lose another person, or maybe we fear, again, the world. But in that fear, the opposite side of that is control. And so oftentimes we'll use, and to be quite honest, weaponize Scripture as a form of control, if that makes sense. So we can judge people, hey, you're not being Christian enough, or you're not being a Christian, or you know, you're going the way of the world, and that anything can be used and will be used against you. Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
Well, and
it's very much like that, yeah.
Yeah, and for some people, regardless of the content of what you're talking about, when you guys do not see eye to eye on an issue, that can be very, very frightening for some people. And it sounds like for your wife, when you don't see things through her eyes, she gets scared and doesn't know what to do with that. And so then turns it on you, right? Instead of being able to say, well, wow, we both have differences of opinion here. Let's kind of look at both sides and come up with a compromise or something we're both comfortable with. Or sometimes we go your way, sometimes we go my way. I think that's, you know, stemming out of that pain, Chris, you were asking about, and the insecurity that she feels, right? To consider your view means she has to question her own, and that can be very frightening.
Right, and what I see is an extremism, where she'll go into an extreme, and I'll be like, "Honey, this is just a daily life choice," or you know, "Yes, I did seek God in this choice," or you know, but she'll be very extreme about it.
Mm. Chris, I think you caused a good portion of her extreme stance that she takes. I think you're facing the aftermath of your sin of pornography, and I don't think you realize how much your historical pornography use continues to affect her today. I also think you have a listening problem. She gave you some really important examples right before this call, and you can't remember what she said. That's normal. That happens. But add to that, you told us when she brings these concerns to you, you get defensive. You defend yourself. Totally normal. We all do it. But it's not helpful, especially when you've caused your wife a history of pain through betrayal and a lack of trust, lack of integrity on your part. When you said, yeah, there was a history of porn, but there's no problem there now. I don't think that's true. There might not be a problem of you acting out anymore, but I think there's a problem still for your wife of broken trust that has not yet been rebuilt. She doesn't feel emotionally safe with you. A big, important inroad on your part would be regularly offering the comfort circle to her, learning how to do that, Mylan and Kay Yurkovich's comfort circle from How We Love. Because you need to become a better listener and a proactive listener where you seek out her pain and her fear before she has to bring it to you. And little by little, I think she'll learn from that you are becoming a trustworthy man.
Well, and when you move into defending yourself, what that does is it causes a polarization. And so she will go to the opposite extreme, right? So the more you defend, so you both are moving away. Think of it like a teeter-totter. Right? There has to be balance. So if you move towards her, she's apt to move towards you eventually.
And this is what it sounds like. Wife, I know that you're scared. And I've done a lot of things to add to your fear. And I'm willing to hear anything about it. I know you're afraid of the vaccine. You can tell me about it. And I'm just going to be a listener to you. And you validate, you listen, you empathize with her.
I can do that.
And then maybe you even wait. Maybe you offer her and say, well, let's get more information about it. I'm willing to wait before I make that decision and take that jump.
Okay.
And Chris, as you're doing this, you know, invite her into the process as well. You know, express to her your heart. Hey, I want us to be closer. I don't want you to be living in fear. I don't want to be living in frustration. Right. And so let's work on this together.
And yes, as you're right. with her, again, she will then be able to, over time, give up some of those really extreme positions that she's holding on to and will soften.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you. Chris, you have a breakthrough coming. You're humbly listening to us and you're taking it in. You're receiving it. There's a breakthrough coming for you in your marriage.
I hope so. I'm praying so. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Chris, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love. And I know that will be helpful to you and your wife. I also want to mention that you and your wife are perfect for our intimacy and marriage mm-hmm. workshop. I know it's a few months out. That may give you guys a little bit of time to prepare for it, but it's coming up July 23rd through the 25th, not far from you, in Washington, D.C. And so I really would love for you guys to be able to sign up for that, get into that, and you'll be able to really get at a lot of heart issues through that process.
Sounds good.
All right. Chris, hey, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for calling back in, and we pray much restoration and healing in your marriage. So thank you again for calling in. And we, in this month, have for Club New Life members, anyone who joins Club New Life, is Conquer Worry Anxiety by Dr. Daniel Amen. This is a 7-book series, by the way, so stick with me. You sign up for Club New Life, you're going to get Conquer Worry and Anxiety, Growth Has No Boundaries by Townsend and Cloud, Emotional Freedom Workbook, really, really important there, Arterburn and Neil, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life by Dr. David Stoop.
I love that one.
It's huge. And Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, hugely transformative for me. Also by Dave Stoop. Healing is a Choice by, obviously, Steve Arterburn. And Take Your Life Back Day by Day, Arterburn and Stoop. This library is truly, truly transformative. So join Club New Life and you will get a library that can truly, truly change your life and change your life for good and forever. So with that, let's go to another call. We're going to go to Sally in Portland, Oregon, listening on the internet. Sally, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, talk to me. What's going on?
Well, I have been accused continuously for the last several years by my sister of being overly sensitive and to grow a thicker skin. I know this seems very trivial compared to the calls that you do get, but it has caused a great deal of issues between my sister and me. And out of 4 siblings, she's the only one that we each have a relationship with. All of our other siblings are gone for many different reasons. So we cling to each other, but I feel like to the point that it's almost gotten to a point where it's being bullying now. And I don't know how to take this. I am a strong Christ follower. I have an excellent relationship with our Lord and Savior, and I feel like He has prompted me to call you. I also believe He has made me this way. Mm-hmm. I am so empathetic and compassionate to others. Sometimes I literally feel the pain of others.
Yes.
And I believe He made me like this, and so I accept it.
Yeah.
My friends, my closest friends, they accept it. They know who I am. Do I burst out in tears at times? I do. I'm the first one to admit it. And another thing you need to know is I have also, and my sister and I both, have suffered incredible losses in less than 9 years. Both of our parents. I also suffered the suicidal death of my ex-husband.
Oh, wow.
I also suffered the loss of my sister's eldest son in a tragic drowning accident.
Wow.
And on top of that, I was diagnosed with RA and lost my job and have been isolated during the pandemic. So if I'm a little sensitive, I think it's okay. But that's not how she feels.
Well, yeah, I definitely...
And you know what? I have been walking with God and trusting Christ through all of these
yes.
things.
And, Sally,
I am amazed at what I've seen
Sally, really quickly, what's a question for us that we can help you with?
I don't know how to deal with her anymore and get her to accept me for who I am.
Okay, well, we will address this right after we come back from the break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we have Sally on the phone. If you want to join us, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. And Sally, we're talking with you about having these tremendous and traumatic losses in your life, and that you are a sensitive person, and I would say that you are a big-hearted person with a lot of empathy.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you feel things deeply.
Yes.
Okay. And you're wondering how do you you feel criticized and judged by your sister because you react this way.
Correct.
Sally, I'm going to guess that your sensitivity is intimidating for her, whether she knows it or not. I think you are probably more capable of accessing the pain and the grief and the loss that you feel, and she's less able to do that. And so you're off-putting to her because it exposes her wounds too, and you two share so many wounds. So I bring that up to... Yes, too many. I bring that up to try to... help you access compassion for why she's doing it. I don't like the way she's going about it, but I think it's because she's scared. And I want to tell you two different voices I heard from you, Sally. Right towards the end, I heard if I'm a little sensitive, then that makes sense with all I've been through. There was strength there and a little bit of righteous anger. And that's more of the Sally that you need and that the world needs so that you can have boundaries and full acceptance of why you feel the way that you do. That will also lead to some self-protection. But the other voice I heard was earlier in the call, and it said, well, I believe that God made me like this. And there was some question to it. There was a kind of a hurt puppy to it. And I bet that's how your sister hears it. And so it will be a strengthening of your boundaries, taking a stand and saying, if you're going to treat me like this, then I am going to step away from you because it's okay that I'm so sensitive.
Well, and I would also be wondering, Sally, how you being sensitive impacts your sister. Like, what does she say to you about your sensitivity? And partly in being sensitive, when somebody can't go to a depth that we can go to, sometimes we need to be aware of that and not push them beyond what they can handle, because then we scare them off.
That's good. Yep.
I'm being pushed beyond what I can handle.
Okay.
And part of it is I still deeply grieve the loss of my mother, which is not even 4 years. I was her caretaker for 10 years with Alzheimer's. And I had very little help from any of our siblings, and her included. In fact, she put more pressure on me to do things for her because she lived out of the country. And I can't go into that. I could keep you guys on the phone all day. And the other thing is she's the one who lost her son, and it was only 5 years ago. A tragic drowning, and I immediately became her protector when that happened because I was so afraid she would succumb to her grief. And so I didn't even grieve my nephew, who I was extremely close to, for 2 years. So it took me
Sally
enough to let her go.
Sally, so I could hold on. Sally, hold on. With your generous heart, I think you take better care of other people than you do of yourself. What is the structured help that you have gotten for these tremendous losses?
only God. I've only turned to God.
You gotta no, sister, stop there. You gotta start turning to other people more mm-hmm. for your own help. And it probably feels selfish of you because you're such a giver. But you will be burned out, and you probably already are, if you don't get refueled. You need an individual therapist of your own.
How did I get it?
How do you get it? You made the right call today, and then you stay on the line with us. We connect you with a therapist in your area. Let us do that for you.
Well, can I add one more thing? One of the things that prompted this recently was a neighbor of theirs who, they have a home here, they live in Europe, and the neighbor cares for their home while they're gone, which is very close to me. And so this neighbor made some horrible comments most recently that I challenged him on, and it has created a huge rift between, first of all, their friendship for me now is gone, but my sister is now put in the middle, because these people live right behind them, and I want nothing to do with these people anymore based on their comments. And what I was told by my sister was, you need to just let it go and forgive and forget. I can. I've already forgiven him. But because of the way he spoke to me and I found out who he was that I did not realize or come to know in the last 10 years I've known him, I don't want anything to do with him anymore.
Okay,
and they want
so,
to include
so
him
Sally,
in family events.
Sally, hear me out. You've lost a lot of mm-hmm. people. You're terrified
yes.
of also losing your sister. But you guys, but both of you, you and your sister, are bleeding your pains all over each other. And trying to fix each other by doing it, which is never mm-hmm. going to work. It just won't. And so as I want you to hear what Alice was telling you. Your job now is to take care of you, not them. And please know that the last thing on planet Earth that is selfish. It's actually selfless. Yeah. It'll be some of the hardest work you ever do, but by doing it, everyone else will mm-hmm. also benefit from it.
It's stewardship, not selfishness.
That's mm-hmm. that's great, Alice. That's exactly yep. right. It's stewarding our pain. It's stewarding our experiences and who we are. So we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And that's exactly what I want you to do, Sally. I want you to take your life back. I want you to stay in line. We're going to connect you with a therapist in your area, and we'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. And joining us today, my favorite president of New Life Live, of New Life Ministries.
Don't give me
that. he's my favorite one. So, Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I didn't know this was a mic you had to turn off.
No worries.
Okay.
What do you have for us?
It's Every Man's Battle Saturday this week, and I'm going to be a broken record and tell you why you need to go and read a testimony to you. If it wasn't for New Life and what I've learned about sexual addiction, I don't think that I would have had the knowledge about the battle or the courage to insist that my husband go to the workshop. I know that it was God's perfect timing, and I really feel that our marriage has been saved. I'd come to the point where I wasn't even sure that I wanted to continue in our 37-year marriage. But I know the Lord hates divorce. After the workshop, he confessed to something that I could never have imagined. I was overcome with compassion for him that I know came from the Lord. I feel like a new person, and he looks like a weight has been lifted off his shoulders. I know he has a lot of work to do. I'm so thankful that he is continually in touch with the other men he met at the workshop who are fighting the same battle. I feel like our marriage has been healed by the Lord through New Life Ministries. The last thing is, I would like to join Club New Life. I commit to giving $30 a month.
Mm.
So I love that on so many levels, that a wife knew what to do when it came up, when it happened, and that he went, that he confessed, that she had compassion. So many guys at the workshop will think, if I tell her everything, she's going to divorce me. This is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my marriage will be ended. And Jason says, your marriage is already over.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many women hang in there and stick in there and that they will have compassion and work with them. And so I love that. And I love more than anything than all of that, that she joined Club New Life.
Absolutely.
You know, I looked this morning and we had like 379 Club New Life members out of the thousands that we have that did not re-up with us because we had to find their credit card numbers again.
Mm, yeah.
So that was like, I did the math, I don't remember, probably about $11,000.
Wow.
Every month.
Yeah.
So folks, if you could be one of those 379 people and replace somebody else.
Yeah.
If you could make a gift, if you could just, if you believe in what happens here, these testimonies that I read, and the difference it makes. This is God's doing. This isn't our doing.
You know, and Larry, I just want to mention something. You know, addressing the sexual brokenness in our marriages isn't just terrifying for the husbands. It's terrifying for the wife as well. I mean, there's so much of us that we would rather live in denial. We'd rather live kind of sweeping everything under the rug than addressing it. But that, again, the pain and the fallout and the destruction won't go away. And every man's battle is God holding your hand through the process.
Yep.
And our job, especially as men, is to reach out to God's hand.
It sets up the next generation differently if you're willing to do this. I've talked to a number of young men under 25 who were convinced by the material of every man's battle to stop any pornography use and to become sexually pure and maintain that.
Right.
And then it teaches our young girls what they can and should expect from the men that they date and marry.
And the other thing I want to mention about that is that there are wives out there that your response may not be compassion at this moment. And that is completely legit, and yours may be, and that's okay too. But if you're carrying the pain and the hurt from and the fear from the fallout, then going through the restored process is really important. And again, God's hand will lead you through that process. And that is what our ministry here at New Life is all about, as an expression of God's hand to lead you through your most painful and difficult moments.
You talked about caring for the wives. One of the things we do, every Man's Battle Workshop, the counselors that are there and Jason, we pray for the women that day.
Mm.
They're sitting at home a little bit. What's going to happen?
Is he anxious, okay?
Yeah.
Pins and needles.
There you go. You've had that discussion.
Yes we started with that.
So I'll let you take some calls, but thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for all that you do for us. And let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Pete in Dallas, Texas. Pete, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Talk to me, man. Okay. What's going on?
Well, she told me just to make a quick question, and then we'll flesh it out a little bit.
Perfect.
My wife of 5.5 years is asking me to have her ex-husband live with us. We're going to be buying a house soon.
Okay. And the question for us is, I already know the answer, but ask it anyway.
You did leave us speechless there for a moment, Pete. You did.
Yeah. I know. Mm. Well, you know, she has started asking me a few months back, and I'm this nice guy, and I'm not real sociable, so I'm quite a shy guy, and I didn't know what to think about it. I thought, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe that, I don't know, you know. And then I think so. So I kind of left it like that. Well, now it's getting down to time where we have to move. We're going to have to move and make all the arrangements. And I've decided in the last 3 weeks or so that no way I can do it.
What is the ex-husband's situation that he needs to be housed?
Well, he is, well, this is my first marriage, and I'm 63. She'll be 55 in June, and he is 70. And he has COPD and a little bit of a heart. He has a stent, and I don't know, I don't think his heart's too bad, but he does have a stent. So he is very physical compromised. He can only walk from one room to the next. And so she's concerned about him living by himself, which he already is now. He's in an apartment complex where older people live.
Pete, did she really divorce him in action, in daily action? Is she truly divorced from her husband?
Well, you know, I don't think so. Now that you mention that, I never thought of it that way. But she, ever since they've got their divorce settled, which has been many, many years ago now, she, as long as I've known her, she has talked to him every day on the phone.
Every day?
Yeah,
every day. Makes you wonder why they got divorced.
Well, her reasoning now is that she's concerned about his health. He could pass out over there.
Sure, but why did they get divorced? Why did that marriage end?
That's a very key question. He was fooling around on her. And I don't know what I've forgotten now what the suspicions that she had was, but she actually hired an investigator to follow him around and found out for sure.
Well, I guess he's not doing that anymore, right?
Well, no, because he's physically...
Right.
No, but now he is. He's messing around with some other guy's wife.
Well, that's true. He is.
Your wife.
Your wife.
Pete, why,
right.
What is it...
Exactly. But now she has the control is what I was alluding to, right?
Pete, what is it about you that you are so willing to tolerate so much of the ex-husband in your life?
I don't know. I guess it's just because I've been the kind of quiet, shy guy, and I've only... I never had a lot of friends, and most of my socializing was through work or through my parents. I was always close to my parents, and my mom was the last one to pass, and she passed about 5 years ago.
And if you asked your wife to truly be married only to you, what are you afraid would happen?
You know, I really don't know what she would do. If I asked her to cut relationships with him completely, I don't know what she would do.
I think
really
you're afraid she would choose him, because she already is choosing him in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you know, she might do it, because, in fact, she's already, you know, here lately, since all this has been coming to a head, my blood pressure has gone up, and I've even called the doctor. I've got a doctor's appointment for next week to check on that, and, you know, I don't know if she was joking or what,
Pete, let me jump in here really quickly, okay, man?
Okay, go ahead.
You're stuffing way too much.
Yeah.
Okay, and so your heart is both figuratively and literally compromised. It's hurting.
Yeah. Right.
And you must learn to value that. You have settled because a long time ago, you started believing through whatever circumstances that you weren't worth it.
Yeah.
You are. And so you've settled for the lowest common denominator possible. A woman who would take your money but not marry you.
Oh.
Oh, my. Mm.
So take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want you to be able to recover your worth.
Okay.
And so that you can set new standards and connect to your needs that need authentic and real love, not some woman who will just sign a piece of paper and say that she's married to you. All right? We got to head to a break, and we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're on the phone with Pete. Pete's in a tough marital situation.
Oh, we feel for you, Pete.
Jill, you had a really important observation.
I had a thought, Pete. I'm wondering. It sounds like you were pretty content with your parents. I mean, it took you a long time to decide to get married, and it was as your parent, your mom, was kind of on the way out the door that you married your wife. And so, there's a part of you that was looking for, in a sense, a replacement for the parents, for your parents.
Yeah, we met when my mom was in the nursing home, mm-hmm. and then we married about, within a year after she passed away.
Mm. Right, yeah. Right. And so it makes sense that after being her caretaker, that you were looking for someone else to care for or to care for you.
Yeah.
And to fill that void there.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of those, yeah.
Well, Pete, we do really feel for you. You're in a very tough situation, and we just want you to recover your worth and your value. And we're going to send you Boundaries in Marriage, because what this helps you do is understand that there is a marriage, but the marriage needs to be protected,
mm-hmm.
and that the relationship and each individual's hearts need to be protected as well. And so,
Right, and there needs to be that establishing of forsaking all others.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
I mean, ex-husband. Once you're married to someone, they're always a family member, but they're like the crazy uncle.
Yes,
right. They aren't your daily, dose of friendship.
Yeah,
but you have to decide an essential question. Do you want to find out what the reality is of your marriage? Do you want to face that? Because it will be painful, possibly. It will be risky. But it's the only thing that will really save your marriage. So if you tell your wife, I changed my mind. I realize it's not good for us or our marriage to have him come into our home. Maybe we can figure out another way of helping him, but not in our own home. You're going to find out if she chooses you or she chooses him. But reality is always our friend. Mm-hmm. But some of us decide, I'd rather live with the pain I have than risk something possibly better on the other side.
Yeah.
But we have a truth-telling God. We have a God that wants us to face reality and speak truth in love. And you don't speak enough truth yet, Pete.
Yeah, but not to myself.
Yeah. Well, we care for you. We want you to get the help that you need. So we'll send you, again, that copy of Boundaries in Marriage. And it wouldn't hurt to seek some counsel on this as well. And so we have plenty of really great therapists there in the Dallas area. Again, that's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Reach out to them. And with that, we're going to go to another call. Try to get one more in. We're going to go to Carol in Columbia, South Carolina. Carol, are you there?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I was calling because I was listening to your radio program. I had just seen my dad, and my question is, how do you know when you've crossed the line to like taking care of your parents or enabling them? Because I have a dad who is just he doesn't want to do anything. Like, I know that he can do more than he's capable of.
Okay, pause it right there. Pause it right there.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave the definition of enabling.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great, because I think you have this internal wisdom. Enabling is doing things for others in which they can more than capable do for themselves.
And it's the kind of helping that keeps them stuck in continuing to be too dependent on an adult daughter. Carol, I think you already know you're enabling your dad. So I think the more important question is what to do about it now.
Well, like, for example, I'm supposed to be on vacation this week. And I had set up for an aide to come and take him and stuff. And I tried to do as much as I could for him last week. And so he was waiting for his check to come in, and I said, okay, well, when the aide comes, I'll make sure that there's an aide that has a car that can take you food shopping. He just wouldn't go. He didn't want to go. He's like, I just don't feel well. I just don't want to go. I'm like, she's going to pick you up at the car, at the door, and you're just going to get into her car, and then you're going to get on the little buggy in the store, because he can't just give her the credit card. And so He's just like,
does he have a medical condition? Like what? What's his scenario? Well, what's his situation?
Or is he severely depressed?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't act depressed. I mean, but he's more of like, I've heard people, other doctors say to me that he's like, what's that word? Not egotistical. Makes the other people feel worse about themselves. Like
narcissistic.
Yeah.
Himself.
So
Carol, listen to me. When a person acts helpless and they're hopeless, those are two key definitions of depression. Key attributes of depression. So what I'm saying is, no, he is acting very depressed.
Well, he doesn't like look sad or anything.
He has some character defects that go along with it. Some major character defects because he's willing to take advantage of all of your resources that you're offering rather than doing the work to get the help that he needs. But Carol, you're also controlling. It's a very kind, very giving, controlling. But you are controlling. You're trying to make your dad make healthy choices for himself that he doesn't want to make. And so part of the solution, which would be very painful and difficult and scary for you, is releasing control of what your dad does, even though it will probably mean he's going to keep making more unhealthy choices that will be frightening for you.
So I think
It's like so hard to decide. Like, I know that I have to, like, just let go. But then, you know, I felt guilty all night that he didn't have, like, food or groceries
Do you think your dad is going to starve?
I mean, he probably would take a good week to starve. He's overweight.
Okay.
No, I don't think he would starve, but I felt like, you know...
You don't let him get hungry enough.
So, I tend to think that some caretaking of people as they get older is a really kind, nice thing and a good example to younger generations. Okay.
Yes.
So I, you know, and people as they get older, you're not going to change them. So, but it's a choice. It's a choice to say, okay, I choose to do these things for my parent, regardless of how they respond. But when they start expecting that, when there's a lack of appreciation, when there's an entitlement there, and they are controlling then your life to a degree where it's compromising for you, that's when this is becoming unhealthy.
Yeah.
Especially if you're resenting your dad for what you're doing for him. You can decide differently to control your reactions and behavior and emotions.
Well, and Carol, let me share this. Yeah. Is my dad was in very poor health for a very long time and had some severe struggles, including addiction. And towards the end of his life, he needed a lot of help and assistance. And so what I did in conversation also with my brother is we individually and together decided what we would do for him. We decided what we would do for him and not do anything else unless we decided. And so what happens is that your anxiety over the loss of your dad is taking complete control over you and keeping him stuck. I, a long time ago, had to enter into a grief process. You've lost your dad. And so this is about entering into that and like you said, letting him go. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and that will really guide you through the process. Thank you for calling in today. Thank you, listeners, for listening to us. And may you be well today. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.